started in just a second.
Okay, finally I think we're ready, right? We're streaming.
So I am now.
Hooray!
Sure, this is working. 2 minutes, I guess.
Oh, can you guys not hear me?
George.
I think one's enough. I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not President Obama yet. Okay. Okay. Thank you so much for joining us and for being patient.
Hooray.
As we worked out the technical issues. My name, as you probably know from all the other sessions I've done, is Ben Riga. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. I'm the President Developer Platform Evangelism Group.
Okay.
You need to get a hold of me.
Thank you so much for joining
my contact
us.
Info is at my About Me page. So about.me/Ben.Riga.
My name, as you probably
and that'll
know
you my,
from
you
all
can
the
email
other sessions
there.
I've done, is
you
Ben
can follow
Riga,
me on Facebook, follow me
at Microsoft,
on Twitter, Google Plus, wherever it is you spend your time.
You need to get a hold of me. Thank you so much for joining my contact info.
All right, so today we're going to talk about building world-ready apps. There's a lot of things related to building world-ready apps, and we're going to try and get out as much as possible. Unfortunately, because we're starting late, I'm not sure how far we'll be able to get to. But what we're going
to
focus on is localization. There's a lot of other things related to globalization, and we also have a pretty good solution around translation now, but I don't think we'll be able to get to that today. So the first thing is the idea of why should I
focus on.
Does anyone know the best thing you can do to get lots of downloads of your app? What's the first thing you need to do?
Translation now?
Anyone? I don't think we'll be able to get to that today.
A
good style?
The first thing is the idea of why should I focus on.
Does anyone know the best thing you can do to get lots of downloads of your app? What's the first thing you need to do?
No, the thing you need to do to get lots of downloads
is actually publish your app.
Good style?
If you don't publish your app, you're not going to get a lot of downloads. The second thing you need to do, and this graph really kind of describes that, is that the second best thing you can do to get lots of downloads is actually support
to get
lots of languages.
There's
this unprecedented opportunity.
If you don't publish your app, you're not going
to
get a lot of downloads.
We talked about it yesterday.
Need to do, and this graph really kind
of lots
describes
of countries,
that, is that
lots of people will have access to Windows, hundreds of millions in not too long, and that means those people are waiting for your apps. Not all of them will be in Greece, not all of them will be in wherever your country is in
the
live stream. And so the best thing you can do to get lots and lots of people using your app is to localize. And so we're going to talk about what that means and how you can do that. The first thing is, what does world readiness mean? From an end user perspective, that means when they're looking at the app, the content is in their own language,
and
the data is formatted according to their culture, dates
and
times, currencies and so on.
The
text input just works. Keyboard and so on.
The first thing is,
from your perspective as a developer, there's a few things you need to do to be able to make the end user happy with that. The first thing is, you want to make sure that your code base is identical across all languages. Otherwise, it makes debugging and keeping text and maintaining your app quite expensive.
The first thing is, from your perspective,
you also
want
to separate your code from your user interface. The first thing is, it just makes it much easier, and it will make your translator's job easier. Otherwise, it means you will be able to get more language
and
maintain your app more quickly.
Quite expensive.
And finally, there's a few things you need to do in order to support linguistic and cultural needs, and primarily around globalization. So there's a few things that are new in Windows 8 related to supporting multiple languages. The first thing is, and this is kind of an interesting one, is that
there's a few things
in previous versions of Windows, the end user told you about one language. They told Windows, what language am I running? Now they actually provide a list of languages in order of preference. And so, for instance, in my case, English is my first language, but I grew up in Canada and Montreal, so I speak French also, and my parents were Italian, so I also kind of understand Italian. And so I would list three languages as language preferences. And then if an app doesn't support English, for instance, then it would fall back,
but I grew
Italian or French.
So I speak French also,
and my parents were Italian,
so I also
kind
of understand.
Let's keep going. So I would list as part of that, if you support all those languages in your app, if an app, Windows will do the matching for you. It's kind of magic.
Then it would fall back.
The way that Windows figures out what languages the user understands and what languages are available from your app,
so
and it will do lots of interesting calculations and heuristics to figure out what language to show the end user. And hopefully we'll have a few minutes to talk about that later on. There's also a client-side resource management system. This works for both HTML and JavaScript. It's the same one.
Why is it interesting to
for C# and VBA and C++ and all those other things to show the end user. And we've also made a lot of strides towards being able to support multiple languages and multiple graphics.
System. This works for both HTML, JavaScript, and it's the same one I'm using for C# and VBA and C++ and all those other things to show the end user.
And we've also made a lot of...
Ah, got it.
Yeah, okay. Am I good to go? Okay, all right. So there's three parts to localizing an app. The first part is localization. That's where we're going to spend our time today. But I actually did another session at Build a couple of weeks ago, and I encourage you to go and have a look at that, where I talk about globalization, things like currencies and dates. And also, as I mentioned, we have some new tooling around translation. I encourage you to do that. And I have some links at the end of the session with resources where you can actually get all of that stuff. Let's talk about localization. The first thing you need to do to localize an app, there's two things. One is you need to set the default language for your app. And that's the language where if your end user has a set of languages and your app has a set of languages and Windows can't figure out what language to show the end user because there's no match, the default language is the language that shows up, right? So that's kind of the ultimate fallback. And then the second thing you need to do is take your resources out of hard code and put them into resource files. And that's sort of a kind of a basic thing. It's the way we've been doing it all along. The resource files are a little different now, and I'll show you what I mean by that in a few minutes. There's a number of different things that you need to localize in your app. The first one is file-based resource management. So if you have graphics that have to be localized, for instance, they have language on them, or for cultural reasons, they have to be localized. There's a way to do that in Windows 8 that is actually quite convenient, and we'll talk about that. Essentially, the one thing I should mention is that it actually costs a lot of money to translate images, and so unless you really need to, I would try and avoid that. It actually, because then you have to go and pay a translator to translate the text, and then you'll have to go and get a designer to redesign the graphic, and every language that you add is an additional graphic, an additional charge, and an additional delay in actually building your application. There is a file folder naming convention to doing that. The naming convention is at the top of the screen there. Folder name, qualifier name, value name, all of that stuff. There's lots of different things that you can localize. So for instance, I may in my project have a file which is my logo. And as you may know, Windows now supports three different scalings, so scale 100, 140, and 180. And so I may have a file that is localized for, in this case, ENUS would be English for the US, with a home region of USA, with a scaling of 100 and a contrast of white. That's the logo. When I'm putting that into my application, all I tell Visual Studio is that I need the file called images/logo.png. And Visual Studio and Windows 8 will figure out which file to use, because you may have logo.scale-140 contrast white. You may have fr-fr, or you may have, in Greece, you would have el-gr, and so on. And so Windows will actually compact all of that Visual Studio will compact all of that into a PRI file. I forget what it's called, Package Resource Index, I think it is. And it puts all of that in your file, and then Windows figures out how to find the file. All you need to do is tell it images.logo or images/logo, and the system will find that. I'll show you how that works in a few minutes. You're also localizing strings, and so the idea that when you are, as part of your application, dynamically have to provide some sort of string on screen for whatever reason, you don't want to hard code that. You want to put that in a resource file and then use the capabilities that Windows provides. We have what's called a resource loader, and with the get string call, you would actually retrieve that directly from the resource. Again, I'll show you how that works when we get into the demo. And then finally, and probably the easiest, is actually managing your strings in markup, whether it's HTML or XAML. It's a little different between the two. We'll focus on XAML today. But I have another session at Build where you can go and have a look at how that works in HTML. So the first thing is, again, move your strings out of code, out of your markup, put them into a resource file. That's the first step throughout. And then you use the tag or the attribute x:UID to insert that attribute into each one of your elements, and based on that attribute, again, Visual Studio and Windows will figure out where to go and get that string. And then the final thing is your app actually has a presence in the system, not just on the local system, but also in the store. And a lot of that information also needs to be localized. So for instance, the title of your app in the tile, on the tile in the start screen, has to be localized. It's going to be different when you're in Greece versus when you're in France versus when you're in the US. And so you want to localize that. Your logo or your splash screen may need to be localized. Again, all of those things work exactly the same way, and all of that is in the app manifest. And I guess the easiest thing is, let's actually dive in and have a look at how that looks. So hopefully folks can see that on the screen. So I have a very simple app. Let me show you what the app does. It's a billing app for me. I do billing, and so here's my app. I charge $1,000 an hour. And so in this case, I'm using George's machine, which is in Greece, and so it's showing up in euros and all of that good stuff. But what happens now if I change languages? There's a few things going on here. I have an app bar. I have a title screen. You'll notice that in typical Windows 8 fashion, there is no navigation on the screen, but there are other navigations. So we have the app bar. We also have the settings screen. So for instance, if I go to settings, you'll see the word language there. And then here it says English. And if I tap on that, there's a pop-up that says, are you sure you know this language? So how would we localize that? The first thing is that we have to switch languages. So for instance, this is the control panel page that shows that, which is where the end user provides Windows the list of preferences. And so in this case, the top language that I want is English from US. And then if that is not available, then I want Greek. And then if that's not available, then I want Swahili. And then I want French from France and French from Canada and so on. So this is the list priority, and I can move those up or down. So for instance, if I move that up and rerun that app, now it should come up in Greek, right? And the same thing if I look at that, that app bar is in Greek. Hopefully my Greek is not offensive in any way. And then if I click, there's the word language there that's been translated. The other ones, the word settings and permissions, those are Windows messages, and so those would come if I installed the Greek language pack, for instance, and switched to Greek, then those would come up in Greek. In this case, they're in English because the English language pack. And then I couldn't find an image for Greek, so I crossed out English. And then again, if I tap on that, there's that message. So how did all of that happen? Let's actually have a look at some of the code. Let me go through these in order. The first thing is the XAML. And so the first one is that item pages where we have all of those previous invoices that I've done. And so here it is. You'll see it doesn't actually say pay me please, which is the title of the app. It says the name of my app, which is actually, that's just placeholder text. And so if I scroll down and find, actually let me just tap on it. That will show me where it is. Here's that text block. Remember I showed you if I give it an XUID, and then told it, this is the attribute I'm looking for, something called app name. And then what I want to get translated is the text field, right? And so how does that work? So if I come back to my folder here, or my project here, you'll see that there is a resources folder. And below that, now I have all of the languages that I've translated. And so you can see I have ENUS, I have DED, which is German, I have French, and I have Greek. So if I look at the Greek one, for instance, you'll see there's a resources.resw. It's a little different than the way it used to be. It used to be called ResX. ResW is actually the same file format, but the way that the system handles it is a little bit different. Actually, it's quite different. And so if I open that, you'll see that I have my app name.txt, which is kind of cool, right? So by saying UID app name, Visual Studio and Windows will then go to that resource file and say, I'm looking for the UID app name. What do you have for app name? Oh, look, you've got text. Let me pull that string in and do the translation for you. If you think about that, that means you can actually localize more than just text. You can localize font size, for instance. If, for instance, you're using German, for instance, which is the words in German tend to be quite long, so you might want to drop, you might want to actually drop the font size in German, and so you could actually localize font size. Or pretty much any other attribute, and I'll show you how that works in a couple seconds, because you use that for app bar. So if I come back now to, let me see if I can find my app bar, I think it's up near the top. Did I lose it? Here it is. And so here's my app bar. Now the app bar doesn't use a standard, the app bar in Windows is not a standard button in XAML. These are actually styles that I'm pulling in, and so it's a little bit different in the way you translate. It's kind of a little tricky until you know. But you can see here the edit button, for instance, it's the name property, but it's the name automationproperties.name. And so I have to make sure that Windows knows exactly the way to do that. And so by doing that, there's my, I hope that says add in Greek and not something offensive. there we go. So that's how you do the XAML part. Let's look at, let's see, what else? So if you remember when I ran the app, we had that settings panel. You do that using contracts in your app XAML. So let me bring up my app XAML page, my appxaml.cs. If I scroll down, hopefully I can find it. Here it is. So here's what I'm doing here. So since I need to do that at runtime, it's not XAML that I can translate. That's actually a dynamic property that I register that contract when my system loads, when my app loads. So I new up a resource loader, right? And then I tell that resource, I named it resource, and I tell go and get string lang settings and put it, in this case I put it into a text, into a string variable. And then I use that string variable. In this case, I'm using Callisto, but you can use it with pretty much anything. And so by doing that, so I'm looking at lang settings, and if I come back to my resource file, somewhere I have a, here it is, lang settings, and that, again, is the Greek word for language. Am I right? Is this making sense so far? You guys following? I don't know if the guys on the stream, looks like it's still working on the stream, so we're good. What else? Oh, so the language settings was there, but if you remember, that settings page itself actually had an image. So let's have a look at how that image was localized. Where was that? That was in my lang settings user control. And so if I come here and click on that image, you'll see that I'm not really doing anything. There's a standard image here, and I'm giving it the source resources, and the image is called language.jpg, right? If I look at my resource folder, in the resource folder itself, there is no language.jpg. And yet, because there's all these resource files in here, if I look at resources ENUS, there's this language.jpg, and here's the one that Visual Studio has figured out that, well, the language you currently have as your highest preference is Greek, and there is a Greek folder, so I'm going to pull in the language.jpg that's in the Greek folder. Again, it's kind of like magic. Visual Studio and Windows kind of just figure it out. There's a lot of heuristics behind all that. In this case, it's kind of simple, but if you think about it, you can have very deep folders, and Windows just kind of figures it all out. It also does, well, we'll talk about language resolution later, but that's kind of the easiest way is doing that. And then the final thing we talked about was in the app manifest. So if I look, if I come back to my start screen, and I think it should be right on the very end. There's my start tile for this app, which just says pay me please. Let me uninstall it because it actually caches it. It should have said it in Greek, so I need to uninstall it and then rerun this. And you'll see that if I now go to the end, it should have the tile in Greek. You see that? The way it does that is by using the manifest. So let's get back to our Visual Studio and stop the app and have a look at the manifest, if I can find it. Here it is. So here's my app manifest. Everything looks pretty much the same, But rather than having a hard-coded title for the app in this case, I'm actually using the ms-resource attribute there. And by you telling it that, then we're using the URI for that is to go and look for it in the resource.resw. And so there is an app title. If we come back to that resources, there's app title, and there's the name of the app that I'm using, right? And I can do that not just for the title, but I can do that for the description. I can do it for pretty much anywhere there's text. And also, of course, if I'm doing my logo, instead of having asset slash logo.png, I would have asset slash el.gr/logo.png or fr.fr or en-us, et cetera, et cetera. Any questions with that? Is this too easy? You guys have been really quiet. Have I been talking too fast? It's that cappuccino I had a few minutes ago. No. All right, so let's come back. There is one other thing that's kind of important and is quite different than the way Windows has handled it in the past, and that is the idea of how Windows finds the right languages. Remember I said the user provides Windows with a list of preferred languages, and then your app has a list of languages that you have provided, that you've actually inserted into the app. And what Windows does is it kind of makes that match. So again, the user specifies the language preferences. You saw how I did that earlier. And then the app provides a list of localizations, right? You saw the ones that I had, en-us, el-gr, fr-fr, etc. And then Visual Studio creates that list actually in the app manifest. Normally it's automatic. You don't really need to do anything there. And then there's one other thing that developers can do. I would caution you to use this wisely, but you can allow the end user to override. In other words, I don't care what languages I've set as a preference or what languages the app has. You can allow the end user to say, forget all that, just use Swahili or French or German. And there's different scenarios where you might use that. In this case, you'll see an image here. This is the Bing News app. And you can imagine scenarios where, you know, I might be from the US, maybe living in Greece for a few months, and my US, I may have Greek as a language, but I may decide, you know what, in Bing News, I want to see the Bing News in English from the US, right? Because that's a scenario where as an expat, I might want to see my content and my navigation in English for a particular app. And so in scenarios like that, you would override. I would say be careful about that because the change that you make is persistent and expensive. In other words, when you make that change and the user reruns the app, that change will still be there. It's maintained throughout. It's part of the settings. And it's not for transient. So if you're switching languages behind the scenes because you want your log files to have Greek or French or whatever your native tongue is, there's different ways to do that, so by changing context and so on. There's better ways to do that sort of thing. This particular override is for the end user to do that. And I'm not going to show you how to do that, but there is an API for that. It's primary language override in the globalization application languages namespace. Okay, so let's figure out how Windows intelligently matches. I want to make sure I don't go over the next person. Let's keep going since we started a little late. So I have a bunch of different scenarios. These are the app-supported languages. In other words, the ones on the far left are the languages that are in the application. Those are the ones that I've localized. The second column is the list of languages that the end user has given me as their preference. And then the third is the override that we just talked about. So the first scenario is the easiest. The languages in the app are English and German. The user has a preference of just English. The app languages that are available as part of that then are English, and of course the end user sees the app in English. That's kind of standard, makes sense. The next scenario is the supported languages are German, French, and Italian, but German from Germany, and the user has said, French from France, and the user has said, I want French from Austria. And so here, the app languages are French from Austria, but since there is no French from Austria in my app languages, Windows is intelligent enough to know that, you know what, French from France is actually pretty close to French from Austria, so we're just going to use French from France. And so it falls back using the right set of languages. The next one is the end user, sorry, the app includes English US, French from France, English from the UK. The end user has said English from Canada, French from Canada. And so the languages are English from Canada and French from Canada. There is no English Canada. And so the UI is going to be English US, which is the fallback from French English Canada. Does that make sense? Here's another one where the system is going to fall back to the default. And so in this case, we have Spanish from Spain, Spanish from Mexico, Spanish from Latin America, and Portuguese. But the end user doesn't speak any of those languages. The end user has said, I only speak English. And so the app language that will get listed is Spanish from Spain, because that is the language that the developer has chosen as the default language. When Windows can't figure it out, the language that will be shown is the default language. Another one is, well, what happens when I have, maybe I'm not finished my translation yet, or maybe my translation is a partial translation. In some cases, I may want to only translate some strings. So for instance, French Canadian is quite close to French from France, so I'm not going to do a full translation, but I may want to translate a few strings where there's words that are very specific. Right, and so this is a scenario like that, where I have Spanish from Spain, I have Catalan, which is a partial translation, and then I have French from France. And so the user has said, oh, my preference is Catalan, but if that's not available, then I want French from France. And so the languages that are available are Catalan and French. And so the UI will actually use Catalan, but wherever there is a string that is not available in Catalan, it will fall back to French from France. So it will do the intelligent thing there and try and give the end user as much of the strings that are available that the end user understands. Make sense? Yes? Nah? No? Okay. Let's keep going. You can also, as I said, the override. So in this case, we have English from the UK, French from France, German from Germany. The user has said in their list of languages, they've said German from Germany and English from the UK. But the app, you've provided them the ability to override, and they've said English from the UK for this app. And so the languages will be English from the UK and German from Germany. You'll notice this, the preferences are changed there, and so it will use English from the UK because the end user has said override. And so the override kind of overrides everything, and it basically sets the override language at, as the top priority. So those are all the various scenarios. There are ways, in some cases, as a developer, you may need to know which languages are being chosen, which languages your app may have as localized languages, which languages the user has declared as their preferences, or in the end, after Windows has done all of the resolution of languages, you may want to know, well, what languages have resolved for this particular user. And you can do that using these various APIs that I have on the screen. So I'm going to stop there, but I did want to give you a list of resources that you have access to if you are interested in going a little deeper. As I mentioned, I actually did two sessions on this topic at Build a couple of weeks ago. One was specifically for HTML, CSS, and JavaScript developers, and the other one was specifically for XAML. And so, by the way, all of my resources, again, I put them all into a bit.ly bundle. So bit.ly/benriga-build2012. That will get you all of the resources that I'm going to show you. There's also some really good Windows 8 samples, so application resources, localization, all of those things. Again, those links are all in the bit.ly bundle. And then there's also some really good sites that are available to you. The one thing I would say, if you are doing localization, we just released something called Multilingual App Toolkit about 6 months ago, and it makes translation so much easier than having to do it in Visual Studio, including doing things like sending translations out to translators, maybe your friends or family, and then once they come back via email, re-importing them back into Visual Studio. It manages that process for you much, much easier. We also have the Microsoft Translator, and there's also a Microsoft Language Portal, where you can actually get the strings that Microsoft has already translated for all of our various software products. Those are all available as a glossary for you via the web. Again, all of these links are in the same bit.ly bundle. So I'm going to stop there for any questions. I don't know how much time I have left. Maybe 2 minutes. If there's any questions, maybe I'll take a few questions. Wow, no questions at all? Was this, oh, good. Okay, well, I do?
Yeah.
Okay. But the next session's going to start in a few minutes, right? 10 minutes? Okay. Let's keep going then. Yes?
What kind of resources can we localize? Just images and strings? Or we can make the localized interface?
Localize what?
The interface, the sound.
Ah, okay. So the question was, what kind of resources can we translate? In this case, I showed you localizing of images. I showed you localizing of strings. The images is, in this case, I used images, but that could have easily have been audio or something else, right? Anything can be localized, including a XAML page. Now, I have to be careful about that because there's no tooling available to you to make sure that it works properly. And so if I have a XAML page that's localized for some reason, maybe it's because you're going right to left or something like that, you have to be very careful that the XAML that you provide in your localized XAML pages are identical to the primary XAML, because there's no tooling to verify that. And if you provide in your primary XAML an event that needs to be triggered, or maybe there's a button, or maybe there's text, and you don't put it in your localized page, you're going to get into some weird situations. So, you know, it's not a good thing. So unless you need to do it, I would say stay away from it, but it is available to you. Pretty much any file is localizable, right? By using that naming convention that I showed earlier, I used it for an image, but you can use it for pretty much anything. Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks for bringing it up. Yes? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear because of the fans.
If we use Arabic, we have languages from the right to the left.
Yeah, sure. So there are languages that go right to left.
And
There is no automatic change of layout. So you'll have to do that on your own. Yeah. 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 Yes, sir, in the back. No. Okay, so the question was around partial translations. So let me give you a specific scenario. Okay, let's compare English US and English UK. Let's say I have a financial app, and the word check, for instance. The word check is spelled C-H-E-C-K in the US and C-H-E-Q-U-E in the UK. And so you may want to localize English UK, but all of the other English strings for English UK will be the same as the English US. And so you can say, use English US, and then if I have a partial translation of English UK where I may only have 2 or 3 or 10 strings that are translated, Windows will sort of merge those two so that you get the right set of strings. Does that make sense? Did that answer your question? So if you have a language but you don't translate anything? Right. So it will pull in, so if you have a partial translation, it will pull in the partial translation, and then for the other strings, it will fall back to whatever the next language is. And so in this case, for instance, the end user has Catalan and French. You can see that on the screen. So Catalan is a partial list of translations, and so it will use Catalan, and then if there's a string in your Catalan, if there's a string in your app that is not in the Catalan resource file, then it will fall back and take the one from the French resource file. Doesn't matter, it's not by screen, it's by string. Sounds like you have a very specific scenario, so maybe if we can talk about it offline if you have a specific question there. How much more time, George? Can we do a few more questions?
We have 2 more questions.
2 more questions, okay. Yes, sir.
Any recommendation for picking up the correct names for the XIDs? Any pattern?
For the XID, what's an XID?
the IDs for the translations, the strings that we use.
The UID.
UID.
Right. So patterns for the UID.
For example, we have five forms. How we put the names.
Yeah.
In order not to.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. So, is there any best practices for naming of those?
For the name.
Yeah. I don't have any, but clearly it's something we haven't published any best practices or guidance around that. So it's up to you and how your translator will use those files, right? So for instance, if you're, it is actually important that the translator understand often the context for where that string is coming from. And so you may want to include, say, the form name as well as the string name and so on. So it depends on how you'll do that, but I don't have any specific guidance on that. I think we'll do one more question. Yes?
Can we organize the translations in multiple resource files?
Good question.
It's a good solution, I think, for what
the... Yeah, so that's a really good question. So the question was, can we use different resource files? Can I split my resources across multiple resource files? And you can. The only resource file that will be pulled open automatically will be the one that's named resource.resw. Right, so if you need a different resource file, you can create it and add it, and maybe you'll call it the ben.resw. In that case, you'll have to use the resource loader to open it, new upper resource loader, and tell it which one you want, and then it will go and open it.
A parameter in the constructor?
Correct, yeah. So you would have to open it up as part of your resource loader call. You'll tell it which resource file you want. By default, it uses the resource.resw. And if you're using something else, you would have to give it that name. But yeah, you can have as many resources as you want. So let's end there. Thank you so much for sitting through, and hopefully you got a little bit out of it, and there's a lot more resources that you can go and go a lot deeper. Thanks very much for joining me.
Synchron between agenda was.